Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, White Sox fans and Charlotte Knights fans, it is Sox Pop on the Farm podcast number 47. I am Brett Valentini on the Southside Sox Populi side of things. We are starting our season off of farm podcasts in terrific fashion with previews of all four affiliates, beginning with the Charlotte Knights and Jonathan Lee, our guy in Charlotte. Jonathan, thank you for making time to do this. I appreciate you being here.
Thanks, Brett. You have to excuse the noise if you can hear it. They are the 2023 Groundskeeper of the Year. Matt Barrett is out there doing his job. They just finished batting practice in a simulated game. So they are cleaning up the field and getting ready for opening day here, which is here on Tuesday, April 2nd, is opening day here. They're headed on the road to Memphis tonight. They're starting on the road for the three games in Memphis. Then they're back here on Tuesday afternoon.
The Blowers are quite an attention-getting device. He succeeded, he got it, and he got the shout-out. Okay, Jonathan, on the beat 10, 15 years ago, I was often told I had to, you know, like upload video. I was shooting video on the road, a lot of weird stuff going on. And when my internet connection was slow or dead or powered by kerosene, they would tell me, and this is a quote over at my former NBC overlords, they would say, MacGyver it. And I would think, wow, I wish there's an actual strategy to MacGyver, then I would do that. But for all of you watching, listening, all of our preamble to this podcast, Jonathan Lee, today, for this first podcast, has MacGyvered it. If I only shot some footage of the work that he did to get in position to do this podcast.
We were trying to figure out if the suites were going to, I thought the suites were close enough, the internet connection would be good enough that it was going to work, but we had to hardwire it. We had to figure out how to hardwire it. Sam Perry is right here. What's your title? Communications Associate is his title. He's sitting right behind this laptop, and he's helping me with ring lights, and he's helping with the technical portion. And I believe we are finished
We know that it's authentic.
This is the beauty of springtime. It's baseball season. These are the sounds you want to hear. The sounds in the ballpark. So let's go.
All our presumptions about you being in front of a blue screen have been dashed. We have authentic ballpark sounds. I'm curious to know what will come next.
You're getting the full experience.
For those of you just joining us who might be Charlotte Knights fans and seeing us for the first time, or maybe just minor league junkies, my name is Rip Valentini. I run Southside Sox. Been doing that since 2018. Even though we devote a lot of our attention to the Chicago White Sox, we spend considerable time on the minors. Minor league updates every night that I dare say are more comprehensive than what even the Chicago White Sox put out. We have photographers' page shooting throughout the affiliates And we have wonderful people like Jonathan Lee here to chime in from Charlotte. I'm trying to keep a Jonathan theme because in Birmingham we have Jonathan Nelson. It's going to be a challenge at single A to keep the Jonathan theme going, but I'm going to do my best. Jonathan, nobody really wants to have to stand up in class and get out in front of everybody and introduce themselves. But Jonathan, would you please stand up in class and give us a little introduction of yourself?
Sure. So I'm from the Boston area. I came here to Charlotte in 2017. I came here in 2016. My first ever experience in Charlotte was when the Pawtucket Red Sox came here and played the Charlotte Knights in 2016. That was right before All-Star break, and that was also the year that Charlotte hosted the All-Star game here in Charlotte. So that was my first experience with this ballpark. I have a media experience of almost 20 years. I knew I wanted to get involved in some sort of media in the Charlotte area and continue what I was doing. I used to work with the Red Sox, the Red Sox channel in Boston at NESN. So I have a lot of experience on the professional level, on the major league level, covering teams. I was covering the Red Sox when they were winning all the World Series in 2004 and 2007. So I take some of that experience and I bring it here to the coverage here of the Southside Sox and the guys who are on the way up or coming from the majors down. So, you know, it's kind of a revolving door down here. And I take what I've learned in that experience and I use it every day down here.
And MacGyvering the connection aside, you really cannot pick a more ideal setting to have as your extended office. It's an extraordinary field. It's just got to be a wonderful place to see a ball game. The skyline itself, I mean, it's certainly reminiscent of what you see in Minneapolis, Pittsburgh, a couple other parks. But I mean, this is really, if you want to talk about a major league park, I mean, this is as close as you're going to get to it in the minor leagues.
It is. It's a beautiful place to come and watch the game. It's the aesthetics of the ballpark. Just, you know, with the brick on the outside, it feels like one of those, you know, old-timey ballparks. And then you come in and you have all the amenities of a 2020, whatever we are, ballpark. Yeah. So wide concourses, the great food options. And I'm not trying to, you know, the theme, but the food options really are good. And it's, like I said, it's a great place to watch the game and to sit in the press box and enjoy the game and hang out with all these great people in the press box. And coming here as many times as I do, it's really a privilege to be able to come and cover the team and come to this ballpark every single day. Because you're right, it is one of the best places to come watch a game on a weekly basis.
Yeah. Ballpark circa 2024. Wi-Fi maybe circa 2014. But, you know, again, it could be 1994. So, you know, that's all good. And we've made it work. You have MacGyvered it. And bully on that. Okay, now listen, we're going to get to talking maybe a couple specific player or position group points. But, you know, it's, I believe, Media Day or whatever, it's first open day there. We've got the roster intact with the Knights because obviously they're playing here later on today. The scuttle, I guess, around the batting cage. You know, the guys you've talked to, folks happen to be back around Charlotte. What's going around in the cage?
Yeah, it's really fun to be back here for our media day. It's a lot of the people who cover the team on media day do not cover the team on an everyday basis. So it's a lot of 30,000 feet stuff.
Yeah.
It's actually a day when I kind of almost step aside and let them do their, you know, we have to be here because we have to be here type stuff.
Right.
And the guys that are here every day, like myself, we'll come back on Tuesday for opening day and get more into the nitty gritty. Yeah. But just around the ballpark, it's the first day you come to the ballpark of the year and you hear the players walk on the field from the clubhouse and you feel you hear the spikes in the dirt. That's why I got into covering sports. Mm-hmm. It's the sounds of the ballpark. It's the bat hitting the ball. It's the pop of the glove at batting practice. Those are the moments that I love to cover. And when you come here for the first time for the season, it's like, oh, yeah, you remember it. Like, this is why we do what we do, because it's such a great time to be able to come out here and introduce yourself to the new players. There's probably half the guys are new.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're not going to remember who you are. That's fine. and reintroduce yourself to some of the old guys, you know, some of the older guys, like, hey, you're back, and that kind of thing. And I'm like, no, I'm here. You're back.
Exactly.
You were back. Right. Clark Payton was over in Japan.
Yeah.
So good to see him again. And Brett Phillips is down here for the first time. So one of the first things he did was take a look around the ballpark, and then he's like, yeah, this is really as beautiful as they say it is. And yeah. he said he played in Raleigh before or in Durham before, but this is the first time he'd ever been here on the field. And he's kind of taking it all in and looking at the view and looking at the ballpark, looking at the dimensions and kind of seeing his way around visually as he's taking BP or as he's talking to his teammates. So it's really cool to kind of stand next to the cage and kind of take that all in.
And speaking to your experience, Jonathan, in Boston, my experience in Chicago, it has to be a treat as you're taking in sort of the experience. You can hear more crisply some of those sounds because they're not, say, muffled by mittens or masks. In Charlotte, you sort of get an authentic, you know, almost extended spring training. Okay, it is baseball season. When you're in Boston or Chicago, I mean, you're pretty much like, okay, a month in, you can say, all right, it sort of feels like baseball. Up there, I mean, we got, you know, opening day in Chicago in March, which is hazardous. But, I mean, it being there is sort of like, all right, well, this is – it seems like part of the natural order. The calendar seems right in Charlotte versus, you know, probably really anywhere any further north.
I'll tell you what, if this was yesterday, it would be the north because it was about 52 degrees yesterday. But I'll tell you what, on opening day, on Tuesday, they're calling for about 75 degrees at game time. That's why you come here and you get involved in sports down south, because late March, early April, you can get in the 70s. And, like, yes, this is not only the spring, it almost feels like it's summer.
Yeah.
And the boys of summer are here, and it's really time to get going, and it's a great time.
Summer's the time to fire up the leaf blower, so perfect. All right, we're going to take a quick break and get into maybe some position player talk and so on with Jonathan. Hang with us for a minute or two. I promise we'll be back on Sox Pop on the Farm. Hey, White Sox fans, Charlotte Knights fans, minor league baseball fans, Jonathan Lee fans, Truist Field fans, leaf blower fans, we are here to talk about the coming season in 2024 for the Charlotte Knights. There's more to be excited about in Charlotte than normal. The nature of the minors has changed, where the next step up to the major leagues sometimes it's pushing down to AA, and AAA is a little bit more of a through station, a little less focused on instruction, a little more a combination of guys quickly on their way up and maybe 4A guys who are just sort of trying to hang on or get a little bit of momentum back into the major leagues. Unfortunately, Charlotte has put that on display, at least pitching-wise, for a few years now, where we've had an extraordinary percentage of opener games, bullpen games. Jonathan, right off the bat, before we talk about specific players, what seems nice, even though a couple guys are still hurt, or maybe they're just maybe coming off a 60-day like a Davis Martin, there are starter arms, maybe for the first time in a while, in Charlotte. It seems like the immediate move to bullpen games, which seemed like were happening like in April in years past, seems like that might not happen at all this year. There's like a legit rotation, including some very promising arms for the White Sox. That's got to be a different feel for you compared to maybe these previous few years.
It is, and hopefully it stays that way.
Yeah.
But, you know, baseball being baseball, a guy can blow out his arm on opening day, and it throws the whole thing out of whack.
Yeah.
And then, once again, we're on the CLT to ORD shuttle.
Yeah.
And, you know, Davis Martin was the 2 years ago, he was the guy.
Yeah.
Who was up and down about eight times.
Yeah.
And, you know, it would be great. The teams that win in the majors basically win with as much an injury-free roster as you can possibly get. So if that's what we can have that in the Chicago, then that means that everybody can get their starts, their four or five starts for the starters here, down here. But I'm literally just looking at the roster for the first time today. And you're right. There are some interesting names. There are some guys on the way up. There are some guys that have been traded in. There's some guys coming back, coming from up from the minors. There's some. It's an interesting mix. Pretty much, I would say highlighted by John Cannon. I'm actually looking at the roster over here. That's why I have it right here. But Sam Perry should give me a roster. But that's okay, Sam Perry. I won't say
anything. Cue cards.
So I'm just kidding, Sam Perry. Don't get up. I'm looking at it right here. Jonathan Cannon, Johan Dominguez is on the staff, Tuki Toussaint. So it's a combination of guys who, like we said, are on the way up, who are major league veterans, who have been here and have done that. So we'll see how it shapes up. One thing I failed to ask Justin Jersley, the manager, was a rotation moving into Friday. We didn't do that. We usually do that at the beginning of the homestand, and I wasn't even thinking about the games coming up over the weekend, but we'll see how it shakes out. They're actually packing up right now and heading to a plane to head over to Memphis for the games tomorrow, but we'll see how it shakes out here in the next couple of days.
Yeah, I mean, not to make too much of it, but I mean, the fact that there even is a rotation he can pencil in right from the start. I mean, I know every year, as you pointed out, things can get dashed really quickly, but it does seem like almost by design, and this is a fault of the prior administration, the White Sox perhaps not gathering together enough, even if it's just guys kicking around the major arms, guys who aren't on their way up. You only have so many prospects. I think a real failure of a prior administration just not to have, I mean, you got to get guys to sign on. You got to have guys think they're going to get an opportunity to taste the majors again. But then if you have no other options, you come to an organization like the White Sox who need those arms so desperately. And this year, at least, it seems like it. Nick Nastrini's a guy who's on that roster list who's probably just going to wet his beak for a start or two there because he, I think, pretty much is the White Sox number five starter. But he's going to be down with Charlotte for a little bit because they don't need him for, you know, a week or two. So there are some real headline names in the rotation, and, you know, this is sort of uncharted territory. I'm burying the lead, Jonathan, because, of course, Colson Montgomery is in Charlotte. Some say sort of an aggressive placement. Some would say, hey, you're supposed to be the opening day shortstop for the White Sox on the South Side, for goodness sake. So keeping in mind, sort of preaching some caution for a guy who's moved pretty quickly through the system. I mean, he does seem to be... he's obviously starting the year in Charlotte. He may have a full year in Charlotte. I guess that remains to be seen, but it's not out of the realm that he's a guy who even makes his way to the South Side at some point. Anticipation, he's obviously a big name, top prospect for anybody's list. So it's sort of a neat little treat to have right on opening day, the guy in the system.
It is, and we thought he would be here. There was no reason for him not to at least start here. It's interesting. When you have your number one overall prospect, your number one overall, in my opinion, your number one overall prospect, his timeline doesn't necessarily mesh with the timeline of the team.
Oh, yeah.
So what I mean by that is the White Sox are obviously rebuilding. What does that mean for Colson Montgomery? Should they bring him up right now and let him learn while they're rebuilding? Or should they wait until they are back to where they were, a 100-win team, and include him into a lineup with a 100-win team? They're kind of in a spot where the best thing for him to do is to get as many at-bats here at this level, facing when he goes into Memphis, when he goes into Norfolk, when he goes into Durham, facing major league-ready pitchers and talent, and match his skill level with the kind of players that he's going to see at that level. That's the best thing he can do. Hopefully he'll be here. I asked him personally, this might be the first time where he's spending a large, consistent amount. He's not going back down. He's not going back down to Birmingham. He's here. He's either going to be here or he's going to be in Chicago. So his first year, he moved from Kannapolis to Winston-Salem very quickly. Second year, from Winston to Birmingham. All constant movement. Not only people don't talk about enough about, sure, the on-field adjustment is a challenge, but what about you moving into a new apartment?
People are
so robotic with these players, and not considering what's going on in their personal life off the field. What is it like to move from campus to Winston, from Winston to Birmingham? Here, it's going to be you're here or you're in Chicago, and that's going to be a big road off of his. Off of his back, where he can concentrate more on actual everyday hitting without worrying about where he's going to be in a week. He's going to be here or he's going to be in Chicago. And I think that's a big load off of his back. And it allows, like I said, it allows him to be more comfortable at the plate and playing every single day.
And it's that goes, I mean, it's a great point bringing up the adjustment players have to make. And, I mean, this is even a relatively regional area. Certainly three of the four teams being in North Carolina are relatively close to each other and all, of course, in the Southeast. But then you're talking about guys who sometimes are having some of their first stateside experiences in, single A or so. Some of the international players, that adjustment just doubles or triples. It is something that fans may tend to overlook. It's smart to be a little more sensitive about that because, I mean, this is, I mean, if I had to go to Japan to write, or Jonathan, if you had to go to, wherever else to fly your trade, we would be having considerable adjustments. I dare say I'd be doing a much worse job of it than these guys. So, it is smart to give a little a tip to cut a little bit of slack. And I guess speaking about, international players, guys who, of course, have been stateside for some time, the White Sox decided to bolster the major league roster with guys who are certainly not going to block progress from the minor leagues, but not exactly a vote of confidence for guys like Jose Rodriguez and Lenin Sosa Braden Shoemake is acquired, when Paul DeJong is acquired, when Nicky Lopez is acquired to play the middle infield, and therefore pretty much ticketing them for sure, short of maybe an incredible Cactus League season, another season beginning in Charlotte, and maybe even perhaps an entire season in Charlotte. It's got to be frustrating for those guys. It's a difficult situation for them, now starting to, add more and more at-bats at a level that they really do want to put in the rearview mirror. How do you foresee them, sort of like plugging through and keeping their head down to just try to dig back to get into the majors, because both have tasted it?
It's tough, man. It's really tough because the taste they get is very limited, and there's pressure to be able to perform in that very small window that you're able to perform in. And if they don't, then they're right back down here. So it's really you're not giving them a chance to be able to be all they can be as a player by moving them up for a week and then back down here for a week. So I think all they can do is get the at-bats, like you said, get the at-bats and just continue to show that you can get major league ready pitching down here at the AAA level. And hopefully when your time is called, hopefully the time will be longer than a week, longer than a month, longer than half a season. And these guys need to be able to show that they can consistently hit at the big league level. And being jerked around like that is it's tough to do.
Yeah, I mean, literally, Jose Rodriguez came up and made his major league debut, and I believe sat the bench for a week, and I think he got one pitch running appearance in. I'm sure he'd rather take it than not, but that's brutal, and that is going to sort of mess you up, or could.
And he knows that going in, but once again, mm-hmm. there's pressure even in pinch running.
Yeah.
There's pressure in performing. He knows he's going to get sent back down. It's no mystery. Yeah. But he knows they're coming back. But still, there's pressure to show in that small, like I said, in that small window that I can be an everyday guy. There's pressure, and it's tough for these guys. I feel for him.
Yeah. With respect to Sergio Santos, who is now the AA manager in Birmingham and one of my favorite players ever to cover, the real jewel of the managerial core in the organization, comes in Charlotte. You mentioned already speaking to him. What were your impressions about the first year in Charlotte and managing at the AAA level? And how do you think lessons maybe learned in that first year are going to translate into an even more competitive Knights team in 2024?
Well, if they say that you learn lessons more by losing than by winning, you learned a lot last year, because there was a lot of losing here. There was a lot of losing. We can't sugarcoat it.
No.
And at this level, you have to balance winning and developing, and you have to. It's tough. So I think we talked to him a little bit about that in the scrum here a little while ago, about things he was able to learn, and most of it was more relationship building than actual winning and losing. And more about making the connection with the guys on an everyday level and being able to be open with communication, and hopefully winning and losing will come with better prospects, better players in the organization. But I think he's ready for his second year. We'll see this year with an improved roster, with the guys that are coming up here, what happens this year with him. If he can take that next step up as a manager, make those adjustments. Obviously, a lot of the stuff he's being, a lot of the decisions are coming from up high. And he's making the little in-game stuff, but whatever. But we'll see in this second season how his level of personal growth as a manager versus season one versus season two.
Yeah. You've covered in a media capital, or at least Boston, being an extraordinary amount of attention being paid, given it sort of is a city representing an entire region of the country and their hopes and dreams with sports, and covered across a number of different sports, including down there in Charlotte. There is access, and I mean, there are certainly pros and cons to covering at a AAA level or a minor league level. What's different, and what's more encouraging for you to show up and sort of have some fun at the ballpark that makes it a lot more challenging? Aside from, I suppose, just the sheer volume of and the size of the swarm, let's say, covering something in Boston. It's a different feel, and you're able to play your access in Charlotte to such a great turn. What's different about it? There's got to be a lot of stuff that, even though it's AAA and not majors, let's say, that just really makes for a more satisfying coverage experience.
It is. I remember covering people used to ask me about covering the Red Sox. And, there are players that we loved, like Johnny Damon, because he would always talk to you. Yeah. And there were players that were like Josh Beckett. And I'm going to name names. Like Josh Beckett.
Sure.
All right. So to me, like Josh Beckett, all right, you make $19 million a year. You play baseball for the Boston Red Sox. You have a beautiful wife and a beautiful family. Why are you always angry? I don't understand it. And it was just because he was an East Texas guy who was stuck in Boston. He just never could get used to living in Boston because he's a country East Texas guy. I get it. But sometimes, people, when you're at this level, the guys haven't made what I call this is a podcast, so I can say this.
That's
They haven't made the FU money yet.
Sure.
Right? That means that they still treat you with a little bit of respect when you get up to the big leagues and you start making that $20+ million when everybody has to cater to your every need, and you can blow people off, and it's completely different. When you're down here with these guys, when you say, "Hey, what's going on?" they say, "Hey," back. To a man, every single person I said "Hey" to, everybody's responded. They don't know my name, which is fine. Mm-hmm. They responded, "Hey, what's going on? Good to see you again." And you don't get that at the major league level. It's walk to the cage. It's very, very mundane. It's very mechanical. There's the loss of relationship when you get to the major league level. Is I understand that they have a job to do, and the media is one of the things they have a job to do. But when you get to that level, there's such almost like an animosity. And once again, I haven't done it in a while. My last season in Boston was 2008. That's a long time ago. So maybe it's changed since then. But even back then, when we were dealing with players back then, there was guys that you went to every single day.
Yeah.
There was guys that you never talked to. And that was because it was all based on the way they interacted with you.
Yeah.
And down here, you don't get that. Down here, it's, "Hey, man, what's going on? Hey, how are you doing? How's your fancy? How's your family?" That kind of stuff. So
it's unique enough in the big leagues that even when there's a guy who is always willing to talk and doesn't really have much to say, and there are plenty of those guys, you're sort of still willing to talk to them, even though, you're looking at the watch like, okay, I still actually have to get some information, for what I need. Mm-hmm. Because it's just, you sort of want to reward that courtesy, because unfortunately at that level, it is a little bit more the exception where that you're treated that way. And I'm guessing at AAA or in the minors, if somehow you're getting big league at that level, then it's like, uh-oh, watch out. It's going to get really ugly once this guy makes the majors, because he's already doing it.
Right. And I think a lot of those guys are the ones who maybe signed for huge signing bonuses.
Sure.
or you know, or kind of have a silver spoon already. So, you know, that's the part of the deal. But that's when coming here every single day and building relationships with these guys as much as you can.
Yeah.
If important, then you can come back and be like, hey, what's going on? You know, hang out at the cage, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the earnestness, the honesty, the humility really goes a long way, and that does have to be refreshing. Even if we're talking about some years ago, that contrast there would probably want to have you keep on coming back. Okay, I'm going to do a little production thing here. Okay, seriously, if you are not, don't try to click on anything here. I'm not trying to screw anybody up if you're watching. Don't click here, but go to your Twitter machine. If you're not following Jonathan, then you're making a mistake. He's our guy in Charlotte. He's giving you the clips pregame, postgame, insights during the game. When he's there, he's giving you the most complete take on Charlotte among a lot of folks who do show up there and do a good job. Jonathan is the guy you want to be following. We're lucky enough to have him tagging us when he's doing some tweet stuff, joining us for these podcasts. I'm going to try to bug him as often as possible, maybe squeeze in some extras, maybe do it a little more often than once a month, especially once everything has settled down and the Wi-Fi becomes extremely strong at the ballpark. And it's just like nothing. John and I will probably just be like chatting during games just because we'll just, you know, hey, we have it. Let's use it. But, Jonathan, I appreciate doing this for the first time with us, and thank you for the extra hustle to make this possible, including the crew not on our YouTube channel right now, the entire crew there in Charlotte making this happen for you. I appreciate you being able to take some time here right on the precipice of opening day.
The first time is always kind of janky all over the place, but, hold on. Someone wants to say hi. Hold on. Come here.
Oh.
Just tell me to be. Hold on.
Hey, Tommy!
There's Tommy DeVee.
I heard Tommy. The whole thing. Yeah, great job. So,
first time, so there goes my ring light.
No,
my fault. Hold it. Where was that thing, Harry? Hold it. Just hold it right there.
Where'd he go? Well,
right there. Perfect. Okay. sorry. This is live, so, you know. This is
give Tommy the union wage.
Yeah. Well, yeah. This is first time, but the first of many, hopefully.
Yeah. No. Absolutely. At least monthly. Who knows? Maybe we'll squeeze a few more in. Thanks for joining us, Jonathan. Thanks for everybody reading, listening. As always, minor league coverage begins in earnest on Friday night and extends until I don't know when the season finally expires, or I do, or Jonathan does. But we will be back to you sooner than later, probably another week or two. We're going to be talking about the very early season for the Knights. So we'll be back with you sooner than you are ready.